I started about the 26th of August, just to get things in motion. What a fantastic Bible reading that is, isn't it? Today we start our Advent season, where we're doing it a week early, because I've got four sermons I want to fit in till we get to Christmas Day. So I want to just dive in and take a new look at an old story and see once again how incredible this story is. Do you think we take it for granted? Do you think we see it as a wee seasonal thing that we do every December? I think we do. I think we've lost the awe. The awe of God, the reverence of God, the awe of the season. And I think we need to remember this story, this is a historical fact. Are you hearing me today? It's a historical fact. It's a historical event. But this one is in a category all of its own. All of its own. Hallelujah. It's never happened before. It's never going to happen again. Never going to happen again. A virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son. Glory to God. It's not just a nice wee sentimental Christmas story that we're going to go at today. This is power-packed. Are you hearing me? It is power-packed, and it can and will change the course of both and has our history. But if you listen in, it will change your destiny. Completely and totally. Because this story starts out normally enough. But then this story gets absolutely out of control. It gets right out of hand. Who's ever been part of a family where it can be really normal? Doesn't happen. But some of us are more normal than others. And from time to time, I'm willing to say in your family, as it does in the Chalk family, sometimes it gets just out of hand. But we'll take that one in the chin. The story goes like this. A young couple wants to get married. That's good. All young couples should want to get married. That's a good thing. They want to settle down and raise a family. Again, that's good. That's another good thing. But before they get married, she becomes pregnant. Now, that's not a big deal today. It should be. Ooh. Old school. But in those days, this was scandalous. But that's not where the story gets out of control, is it? It gets more interesting because there's a twist in the story. The girl called Mary is saying she's still a virgin. Oh. Wow. Is that what it says? She has had sex with no man. No man. Yet she ends up pregnant. It's never happened before, church. It's never, ever going to happen again. Now, some young females who find themselves in this situation will tell you it's happened again. But what does this fact mean to us? Let me tell you something. Every single part of the Christ story, not the Christmas story, the Christ story has credence and relevance. Every single part of it, we don't get to pick it apart so that it somehow fits into our minute ability to think or believe. I would go as far to say, maybe I'm going out in one here. If we are denying the virgin birth, we're almost closing the door on our salvation. Are you hearing this? So how does the virgin birth affect our lives? Well, let's consider just very quickly today. Take the word quickly out there. Let's consider today three ways. Three ways. First of all, the virgin birth opens the door for my salvation. That's what it does. Don't you think when you look at Scripture, it's pretty amazing how matter-of-factly that Matthew states the most stunning news of all time? Look again at what Fiona read in chapter 1, verse 18. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. You see, it only takes one verse, just one verse, to say something that will send shockwaves through all of human history. Just one verse. I want you to also notice Matthew doesn't try to explain how it happened. He doesn't go into elaborate details. He just says, this is how it happened. Take it or leave it. This is how it happened. Take it or leave it. But I'm telling you, it's true. This is fact. A virgin has become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Glory. Glory to God that she has. And you may ask today, well, Pastor, why was it so important that Mary was a virgin? Why was it so important that Mary was a virgin? What difference does that really make? And the answer to that question is two simple words. Original sin. You hearing this? Original sin. Everyone born in this world has been directly affected by the sin of Adam. Everyone has been touched by the sin of Adam. Paul understood this fact when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Praise God. The sin of Adam has affected every single one of us. Paul states it clearly. In Adam, we all die. You see, church, we have inherited from Adam physical death as well as spiritual death. We all die. We all die. In other words, we are born spiritually dead, and at some point, we will die physically because you and I are directly descendants of Adam. So when Adam sinned, it affected every single one of us. When he sinned, he became spiritually dead. And you will discover that all of his children are born spiritually dead. Let me tell you something. I'm the pastor here. I have been born spiritually dead. You in the congregation have been born spiritually dead because of the sin of Adam. But that is not all that happened when Adam sinned. Not only have I been born spiritually dead, I have also inherited a sinful nature because of him also. I know, lighten up, Pastor, it's Christmas. What is a sinful nature? What is a sinful nature? Let me tell you, it means that I'll just be personal. It means that I have a predisposition or an inclination to sin. And I do. I'll tell you something else. No one had to teach me how to sin. Came very easily because it was part of my nature. And I don't want to burst your bubble here this morning, but no one had to teach you how to do it either in a walk with God. We sin because we now have a sinful nature. You see, that sinful nature is somehow passed on from one generation to another. It seems to almost be part of our human DNA. In Adam, all of us have been born spiritually dead, and we all have a sinful nature taking place in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the Christmas story is really good. Because when you start to look at it closely, the flip side of this goes like this. God gave me another chance. God gave humanity in its entirety a second chance, another chance. No matter what you've done, how you've walked, how you've lived in your life, with all your imperfections, faults, and failings, God is saying to you today, I'm offering you another shot. I'm giving you another chance. And that happens because of the virgin birth. There now has been one because of the virgin birth who could break that cycle over our lives. Amen. Praise God. This one, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? No got a clue, have you, some of you? Begins with a J and ends in an S. There's an ESU in the middle. And you got it yet? Does anyone know what that spells? Jesus. Praise God, we're not that silly in here. This one was not born with a sinful nature. This one. He was not born with a human father. This one that we're talking about, this one called Jesus, was born to be sinless. There's a lot of denial going on in the world today about the virgin birth and about the imperfections and or sinlessness of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, he was born to be sinless. It states, behold the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. That's the one we're talking about. And I wonder, hallelujah, has anyone met him? Have you met this one? Say it to me confident. Have you met this one?
Yes.
Let me tell you something else. He's the only one. Amen. There is no one else who can take away the sins of the world. There is no one else in the throne who can take away my sins, break the cycle over my life. Only this one. This is the one. He is the one. Jesus, he is the one who does it. And when you meet him, you know what happens when you meet him, don't you, Tim? He comes inside of your life. Have you experienced that? And he changes us from the inside out. You see, he's not interested in the outward appearance. He's interested in our heart, the condition of our heart. That's how he operates. That's how he works. So when you encounter him, you must be changed. And if you've not changed, you've not met him. Because this one, hallelujah, when you meet this one, you're changed forever. And there's no looking back. And there's no going back. You're moving forward. That is why Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He was conceived so that he could change the destiny of the human race. And if we, as many churches, we are not, but if we are denying the truth of the virgin birth, that then beneath that lack of belief, let me tell you, beneath that lack of belief, we are effectively denying the death, resurrection, and ascension, and anything else that is deemed to be miraculous or supernatural by the power of God. We are denying pretty much all of it. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In Jesus Christ. A second way, moving on quickly, a second way the virgin birth affects us is this. The virgin birth changes our direction. You see, I was once in darkness, but now my eyes can see. I was lost, but Jesus saw and found me. I was in darkness going that way. And he came in here and I started going that way. If I kept going that way, God knows where my life may have ended up. But when Jesus came into my life, my direction changed. Notice when the last part of verse 21 says, beautifully, he will save his people from their from their sins. Now, I'm not going to become an egomaniac and say I'm some sort of saint, because I'm not. I'm actually a sinner. I understand the philosophy of becoming saints and sainthood, but I like to call myself a sinner because it keeps me humble. Keeps me humble. I needed someone to come along in my life's journey and rescue me and save me. I need someone who's standing on much higher ground than I am. Praise God that Jesus is. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will do what? He will lift you up. I believe there's some amongst us this Christmas season who need to be lifted up. But to get lifted up, you have to be looking up to see someone who's in the higher ground above you. We hear from time to time, listen to this, this is the best I could come up with. We hear from time to time about the dangers of dog owners jumping into fast-flowing rivers to save their pets, and they too have been swept away. They might be willing. They might be willing, and they are, but they're actually unable to save their animal. Listen to me. When you're drowning, listen, when you're drowning, you need help. When you're drowning, you need help, but it has to come from someone who's willing to save you, and it has to come from someone who actually has the capacity and is able to save you. When it comes to sin, Jesus meets both requirements, amen. He is both willing and he is both able to save you. Why? Because he is standing on higher ground than you are. He knows how to swim. He actually knows how to walk in water. He knows how to save and he is willing to save you. He can stand on top of the water and just reach down and pluck you out from under the stormy waves. He can do that. And he'll do that for you today if you need to be rescued. Matthew 1 verse 21, he will save his people from their sins. Look at that passage. Who is doing the saving in this passage of Scripture? Who is the Savior? I'll tell you who it is. It is Jesus. It is Jesus, because he is the only one that I am aware of who has the ability to save me and rescue me out of the muck and mire of this world. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. Listen, church. Let's consider this. Let's consider how much effort and how much energy have we spent in our lives trying to save ourselves with our own knowledge, with our own understanding, with our own skills, trying to get ourselves out of overwhelming situations that seem impossible. Now, I think I'm talking to someone right now. Do you think you can save yourself? Have you been trying to save yourself? The Lord's almost saying there's somebody in the room today who's been thrashing about in the water. You've been thrashing about in the water of sin. You've been trying with all your might to keep yourself afloat. How has that been going for you? How has that been going for you? Trying to keep your head just above the water. Do you really think by now you have the ability to save yourself? I'll tell you the truth. The answer is only Jesus Christ can save you and I from our sins. Only Jesus can do that. Let me quickly digress, then come back online. Several commentaries that went into great lengths talking about the righteousness of Joseph. The Scripture says of Joseph that this man was a righteous man. And I wonder though, just because of who he was, do you really think the righteousness of Joseph saved him? Do you think he got into heaven because of his own righteousness and because of who he was? And the answer is no. No. No one's righteousness can ever save them. It would never, ever going to happen. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean. Did you see that? All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. Scripture says this. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. We cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior who is both willing and able to save us. And then the final way that this virgin birth affects me, the virgin birth requires my response. It requires, did you notice how Joseph responds in the story? At first, he believes that Mary has become pregnant by another man, so his plan is to send her away secretly. But Scripture tells us then he has a dream, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and tells him not to worry. She has become pregnant by the power, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit. The child she will give birth to, he's going to be a special child. Oh, hallelujah. This child, he's going to save everyone from their sins. His name will be Jesus. And Joseph believes the dream. He believes the angel. And because he believes, his plans change. Mm. See, when you say yes to Jesus, and when it's a real, genuine response to him, just like Mary, he's going to birth something in you. He's going to impregnate something in you that for many is going to change the course that you might be on at this particular time. And I believe if you open your heart to God and say, God, fill me, birth something in me by the Holy Spirit. For many of you, he will take you on an unexpected journey that you never thought possible for your life before. If your response to him is genuine and authentic and real, you see, so what you believe in life matters. Are you hearing this? What you believe, what Joseph believed changed everything. Altered everything about his life. It did for Joseph. What did it do? His behavior changed because of his belief. Hallelujah. His behavior changed because of his belief. Did you know that it's recorded in the Bible that Jesus used the word believe over 60 times in the New Testament? He said things, radical things at that moment that should never have been altered, but he was courageous and brave, and he was the Son of God. In John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe that? See, belief changes things. John 12, one chapter on. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Oh. So he says in verse 36, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you might become children of light. John 14, verse 1, do, by the Holy Spirit, this is for someone in the room today, do not let your heart be troubled. Glory to God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why would Jesus talk so much about what a person believes? Do you want to know why? Because what we believe makes a difference. Huge difference. What you believe can change your behavior. What you believe can change your plans. And here is a fact. What you believe drives the way you behave. Joseph believed that Mary was pregnant by another man. Joseph was going to quietly terminate their marriage plans. But after an angel came to Joseph, he believed she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and he married her. His belief changed his action. Praise God. So here at Moss Vale, Do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Praise God. Do you believe that He is the Savior of the world? Do you believe that He died and rose again? Do you believe that He ascended to the Father, is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I? What you believe matters. What you believe. Our church, I don't know if you've saw this before, it's up every Sunday. Our church has a statement of faith that we agreed on many, many years ago. It's on our website, our flyers, and we display it at the start of every Sunday service. I would love it if we could proclaim it now. If we could stand together as a church and read it together. And if you don't buy into this, just look at the words and let them pass over you. Why don't we stand together and say these words? Then we're going to come to the table with reverence today. Hallelujah. We believe in the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We believe the Bible teaches there is only one God, revealed as Father in the Old Testament, the Son, Jesus Christ, in human form, and as the Holy Spirit sent to comfort us and live inside of us. We believe God's word in its entirety, and that His word never changes. It is as clear and relevant today as it was centuries ago. We proclaim the life-changing experience of repentance, being baptized in water by immersion, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the church says, Amen. Let's remain standing. I pray these words, we meant those words. Every word. I pray these words, which seem so simple at times, actually burn in our spirits. And that light, that eternal truth that guides us every single day of our lives. We're going to sing one worship song here at the end of this sermon before we go into communion together. And we're going to pause before we take the emblems together. Ask Peter to do this one song for us. I know it's getting a little bit cold in here, so we'll move on as quickly as we can. So let's worship God together, then we'll break bread.
Powers above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom in all the ways of man, You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. And crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Danny, Tim, just stand before me this morning. We'll bless you guys first. Same manner also Jesus took a cup. He says, this cup is a new covenant in my blood.